Hello everyone, welcome to Change Your Lifestyle podcast. I'm your host, Basma Al-Kakoun. I'm a holistic health coach and a fitness personal trainer. Throughout this podcast, I will be discussing a variety of topics that covers the circle of life.
Understanding your purpose helps you to overcome a lot of obstacles, and it helps you to pursue something that's meaningful for you. If you can find your purpose, you can find your meaning, and if you can find your meaning, you can find your way.
David Bell has over 25 years of experience in the financial service industry, specializing in the area of sales, sales management, and coaching. David obtained a BBA in general business from the University of Texas at Austin. David is a senior vice president, performance development consultant for a regional bank. He has served on the board of directors for the Association of Talent Development, Houston chapter, and he is a past president of the chapter. David is a member of Toastmasters and is currently serving as division director. David is a certified master coach through the Center for Coaching Certification. He is a member of International Coaching Federation, Houston chapter. Outside of work, David enjoys cycling, hiking, reading, and volunteering activities. Here I am with David Bell on the call. I'm really excited about today's episode, but before we start, I just want to mention that I know we are all passing through some tough times because of somehow social isolation. It's a new norm, but we have to be grateful for the alternatives that we have. Like right now, I'm grateful for this Zoom call because I get the chance to record this episode with David Bell. This is a great alternative, which that means all what we need is to always keep going. And in order to keep going on the right direction, we have to create a healthy lifestyle. So David, creating a healthy lifestyle has no specific rule to follow. It is completely individual. Please tell us about your lifestyle. How did you create your own and how did you maintain it?
Well, that's a great question. And my lifestyle, I guess I look at over the years, I grew up playing team sports. And so most everything I did was around baseball or football or something like that. And of course, to prepare for those, you had to train by yourself. And so there was a lot of time spent by yourself training, and then there's time with the team preparing for games and all. And so that, I think that was where I started and starting to think about my own lifestyle and what I thought about sports specifically, and that's the way I was introduced to it.
Every time I see a photo of you and your brother on social media having a long bike ride, I feel so motivated. How did you start your journey of cycling?
It's been going on for a while. So when I was growing up, I grew up in a small town, and the fun thing was to ride with your brothers across town and to get a snack or a drink or go to baseball practice or something like that. And as a young adult, I was encouraged by my sister to start riding. She liked to ride. She helped me to find a bike, and I started riding. But really the most I could ever do was maybe 20 miles at a time. And so that was a ride for me. And I would follow her, similar to what you're describing. I'd see that she would do like 100-mile rides 5 days in a row. And I'm like, wow, how does she do that? And then in 2013, she encouraged me and my brother, which you mentioned, to do a ride together. So we just rode in the country, and that's when it really kind of started for us, is just riding together as a family and riding out in the country, and that social aspect of it builds a whole piece of the equation that riding by myself, I would never get. You know, just if I were just riding by myself, I probably wouldn't do it. But riding with family, riding with friends, that makes a big difference.
Wow, that is amazing. I love this story. I love when family or a group of friends find a common interest or hobby to have fun. And at the same time, it is so special when it is beneficial for health. For our listeners today, if you feel demotivated on being more active, it's a great tip to find a group of people who have the same goal as yours. Now, I know that it is exciting to start a specific sport, but the challenge is how to stay motivated and maintain this as a habit for a long period of time.
Well, the thing that keeps me in sports the most is probably my health, but probably more so than that. That's what kind of drives it, is I want to be healthy mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. And as I think about those things, the health part is really one of the most important pieces of the equation, because if you don't have your health, it's hard to pursue these other things. And so in terms of my health, it's like, okay, what can I do to have fun, do things that I enjoy doing that will add to my health? And so there's other things I enjoy doing. I enjoy hiking. I enjoy taking walks. I enjoy racquetball. I still enjoy baseball, but it's hard for me to play baseball now because of my eyesight. I'd probably get binged right in the middle of the eyes because I wouldn't be able to see the ball. But cycling is one of those things that I can do. And so with cycling, the thing that's really motivated me there is usually it's something I'm working towards. So I'll set a goal. And the very first goal that we set was to ride a ride in Huntsville that was 50 miles. I had trained for 35, but the ride, my brother and my sister said, hey, we're going to do 50 miles. And I'm like, over a glass of wine the night before, I said, do you think I could do 50 miles? And they're like, yeah, sure, you could do 50 miles, no problem. Well, it was a problem. It was very challenging to do 50 miles. But I think that having that goal in front of you keeps me wanting to work out in order to not embarrass myself on the ride that I'm planning for. So that, I think that's one of the things that's been helpful to me, is always having something I'm working toward.
Now I can summarize that creating a healthy lifestyle is mostly about having fun with a group of people who have the same interest and the same goal that include a physical activity. That is really a powerful message from you, David. So David, according to your biography, you took a lot of leadership roles. What are the most important attributes of a successful leader today?
Yeah, what a great question. I was asked this by my coach the other day. And so I feel like I'm having to think about this a lot lately. But I think the first thing is having a vision for what you want and how you want things to be. And that's one piece of the puzzle. I found that a really important piece of the puzzle is to have goals that you're working toward. And as a matter of fact, as a professional coach, that's one of the first things that we start with, is what are your goals? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to accomplish? And with those things, as a leader, if you know what you're wanting to accomplish, what you're wanting to do, then it's about, okay, how do I overcome the obstacles and how do I take action steps toward accomplishing those things? And so I've done leadership in both companies and in nonprofit organizations. And in both cases, it's also about building a team, because none of us, whether you're riding a bike or playing football or whatever, none of us live on an island. It requires support, whether it's our family support or whether it's teammates or something to help us getting there. So from a leadership perspective, part of it is having a goal, having a vision for where you're going. Part of it is having an action plan, but it's also having the structure and the team around you to support you in getting there.
What is your secret strategy of being a successful leader?
Well, I don't know that it's a secret. It's something that I've been discovering for a period of years, but it always starts with a purpose. And if I'm real clear about what my purpose is as a leader and why I'm doing it, then it's helpful to get other people interested. And I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, I went through a divorce. And as a result of that, I went to a group that was a divorce recovery group. And so the first 6 months or so, I was just a participant, an attendee, and I would go to the sessions, but it was group support. But after a while, they asked me to take on a leadership role. And because I had gone through that, because I knew the purpose of it was healing and helping and supporting others who had gone through something that they probably didn't want to go through, I found that having that purpose really motivated me to devote the time, the energy, the vision, everything else that was needed was based on having a purpose. And so to me, if I had to say there's a secret to it, is find something you're passionate about. Find something that really is meaningful to us. And sometimes our greatest passions come from our greatest pain. And in that case, that's where, you know, I was able to give back because it was a way for me to contribute to our community.
You mentioned before two things. One is creating a team. Two is setting a purposeful goal. So my first question is, how do you keep your team motivated despite conflict and obstacles?
No, what a great question. So motivating others to, despite knowing that there's going to be conflict and obstacles. What I found, I think part of it is learning that there's two different aspects. It's motivating the team and making sure the team knows what our purpose and our vision is as a team. But then really driving into each individual on the team, because each person is there for a reason. And it's helping to understand, what are they wanting to accomplish out of this? What are they wanting to contribute to the team? And making sure that they're aligned to the organizational goals and objectives. And that's one of the things that sometimes we have to tell ourselves that, I mean, we have to maybe answer for ourselves, what is our purpose and what do we want to contribute? And if we're not real clear about that, sometimes the organization goals and the team member goals don't align. And when they don't align, then you have to kind of check and say, is this really something you want to pursue? Are you really the one who, you know, is this really the role for you? And if it is, great, then let's develop a plan that where we have alignment between what you're doing and what the team wants to do and what the organization is doing. And that alignment is really what creates great teams, I think. You circle that with good communication, and that seems kind of cliche, but the communication piece is important because, I mean, just like right now, we're talking, and communication is two-way, and it's helping us to interchange and come up with ideas and share with each other in a way that we can accomplish our goals. And so when you have obstacles, if you're able to talk about it, there's a chance you're going to overcome those obstacles. If you're not able to talk about it, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with conflict. If you're not able to talk through conflict and understand where each person is coming from. And so communication's two skills, listening and talking. And the one that I've had to work on a lot is the listening part, because we generally want to give our point of view, but just listening and really understanding somebody else's point of view and maybe even sharing it with them. Here's what I hear you saying. Here's what I hear you saying. Is that what you're saying? And clarifying that helps us to be better listeners.
Yeah, that is our role as professional coaches, is to always practice our listening skills. Now about setting goals. Mainly, we all know that we should have short, medium, long-term goals. From your experience, how do you set those goals and stay disciplined in achieving them?
That's a great question. So one of the practices I established early career was writing things down. I found that if you have a written list, it really helps you in a couple of ways. One, it helps you to think through what you want, how you're feeling, how you're thinking, what's motivating you to want to accomplish that goal. But the other reason that writing it down is important is now you can come back to it from time to time and reflect. How am I doing? Am I getting closer? Am I further away? And to your point, even I, over the years, I'm the world's worst. I'll go, I know I wrote these down. Where did I put that? And to me, the analogy I like to give is like going to the grocery store. when you go to the grocery store, a lot of us will put a list down, right? Mm-hmm. And we write everything that we're thinking about that we want on that list. And then we get to the grocery store and we go, oh, I forgot the list. But a lot of times when we do that, we get back home and we have like 90% of the things that we wanted just because we had taken the time to write it down, to reflect on it, to think about it. And when I get back home, I look at what I got and I look at my list, and usually I've bought a few other things other than was on my list, but I usually get about 90% of the things that I had listed. And somebody says, well, that's not 100%. Well, it's 90%. 90% is pretty good. So writing it down for me is effective. The journaling has been real effective because over time, I did this just this week, as a matter of fact, I'd been on a focus to try to lose some weight. And I was looking at 2 years ago where I was, and I'm like, wow, look how far I've come. And I was like, it just hit me. I'm like, I've come a long ways from that goal to, you know, that I'd written 2 years ago to where I am today. And so it's a good chance, a chance for us to reflect and to really acknowledge what we have accomplished. We may not always hit 100%. And sometimes people say, well, that's failure. Well, but I did do 90% of what I wanted at the grocery store. So to me, that's being pretty successful.
I like the analogy of grocery shopping. And also, I'd like to add that sometimes when we go grocery shopping, we find some good deals, so we get them. That's how life goes as well with setting goals, because sometimes a new idea might pop up in our head, or we might meet someone who inspires us. That's how we can modify our list, by edit or add something new.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And sometimes those can be distractions, things that take us away from our goal, or they could be attractors, things that we never even thought of that are really helping us toward our goal.
I was just rereading your biography. You take a lot of role and projects all at the same time. How to stay focused and have a work-life balance with all the list of to-do things?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a tough one for me, because I don't know that I always do a great job at that, you know, because sometimes I overcommit. And so that's something I've even had to watch at. But I do try to find a balance between what I do in my work, which is really important to me. And I work for an organization, so I'm very committed to that organization. I've been there for 15 years, and that's a big part of who I am and what I do. And so that's a priority for me. I've also always had a volunteer component. And for like right now, Toastmasters is a big part of that. Over the years, it's been different things. I mentioned earlier the divorce care ministry. I was involved in that. For a period of time, I was a part of Association for Talent Development and on the board there. And I was a part of that. But I'm very clear about what my priorities are. So this last year, I had another organization ask me to be on the board. And it was a group that I would have loved to have been on the board with, volunteer for, but it's knowing how to say no. And that's sometimes tough, but in this case, I just said I have decided to really pursue my volunteer time with Toastmasters organization because I've been involved in it for 30 years. It's really important to me. It's a great way to give back to our community and help other people develop their communication and leadership skills. And so I'm going to have to say no to you so I can say yes to this. The other piece is, again, the physical. And so it kind of rounds out, if you kind of go where I'm going here, part of it is the social, part of it is the mental, part of it is the physical, part of it is the spiritual. And for me, it's having your priorities in each of those areas. And so for me, the physical right now is my cycling still. I love to cycle. I also like to hike. I also like to walk. And so it's, I know those are the three things I can do. If I get invited to do something else, sometimes I just have to say no. My brother went on a pheasant hunt. Now, he didn't invite me this weekend, but had he invited me, I would have probably said no. And that's because I have these other things that are more important to me.
That is a great explanation of creating a healthy lifestyle that covers the circle of life. physical activity, mental health, spirituality, social life, and work. I really love that. Now let's move on and talk about ups and downs in life. How do we have to deal with these situations?
Well, that's the one thing that they don't give you the instruction book on when you're young, is that life is full of a lot of ups and downs. And some of them you predict, right? You say, oh, this will never happen to me. And the fact is, we don't know what's in front of us. All we have is today. And so I personally have had a few ups and downs in my life over the years. I lost a parent when I was 6 years old to a car accident. I've gone through a divorce. I've lost a job. As a matter of fact, I've lost two jobs in a short period of time. And so I call it the double whammy. I've experienced other ups and downs over the years. And so what I found that's helped me through those times, I just remember one of those times I actually reached out for help. And they asked me three questions. One is, how's your work life? And I said, at the time that this was happening, it's not very good. I'm not having much fun right now. And they were like, okay, check. Okay. And then they asked me, well, how's your marital relationship? How's your relationship with your spouse and your family? And at the time it was not going very well at all. And I went, that's not going very well either. And then they said, well, how about your friends? Who do you talk to? Who do you reach out to? Ding, ding, ding. I'm like, you know, I put all my eggs in one basket here. It's my family. And I, you know, my closest friend is one I had from college, and he lives, you know, 3 hours away, and I haven't talked to him in a long time, and ding, ding, ding. And so it really hit me at that time. His advice to me is, usually if you have at least one or two of those things in your life working, if there's a bump in the road on another one, that we usually can get through it. And for me, I kind of hit the trifecta. None of it is going very well for me. And so I just made a purposeful, intentional decision to build better, closer relationships with people in my life. And I've done that over the years in a couple of different ways. One is through my church community. I've done it through that, and especially with other men and getting close men friends that I can talk to and talk about things that I might not ordinarily talk to anybody else about. The other, though, is like my Toastmaster friends and some of these groups I'm involved in, and even my work friends, is having a group of people that I can talk to, that I can pick up the phone and call, and just chat with, and that lift me and encourage me, and I might do the same for them. The work piece, what I discovered about that, though, is you got to do something you're passionate about, something that is enjoyable to you, something that creates joy in your life. And for me, I've found that thing in my life that I love to do, whether I got paid for it or not. Fortunately, I do, but I love what I do now. And so it's made a big difference for me.
Wow, that was really a great episode. Thank you, David. Thank you, everyone, for listening to my podcast today. If you really enjoyed it, please share it with a friend.